Hey, welcome to the Learning Little Lessons podcast, where my goal is to inspire, encourage, and equip you and remind you that you're not the only one. My name is Trudy Shar, and today I have a special treat for you. This is a recording from our Sister Share event. Now, Sister Share is something that we've been doing for about 8 years, and it's a time when we get the ladies in our church together and we just spoil them for a day with speakers and workshops and food and prizes and just singing, and it's just a wonderful day. And so this is a recording from it by Lynn Beery, who is a mom of three children and a grandma of three children. So she's going to be talking about our calling, our commission in our life, and we're going to be doing some activities about commissions, and just, it's really awesome. So enjoy it.
Start again. Martin Luther said, "This life, therefore, is not righteousness, but growth in righteousness. Not health, but healing. We're not being, but becoming. Not rest, but exercise. We are not yet finished, but it is going on. This is not the end, but the road. All does not yet gleam in glory, but all is being purified." We are being purified. And let's be faithful in that calling. And what does that look like? That involves three basic steps. We're going to be appointed, we're going to be anointed, and we're going to be commissioned. In Jesus' farewell discourse in John, Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide." 1 Peter 2:9, Peter asserts, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide." I just said that wrong. Peter asserts, "You're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Jeremiah believed God when God told him, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a nation, a prophet to the nations." Separated and selected for certain tasks. We are appointed by God. Acts teaches how Jesus builds his church and records Jesus' promise that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. We are anointed. We are equipped with the necessary tools to fulfill his mission. First and foremost is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And Matthew records that Jesus himself was anointed with the Holy Spirit with the dove coming down. I don't really understand how the Holy Spirit and Jesus are one and anointing the Holy Spirit, but let's take that as a demonstration that Jesus is showing us, giving us that word picture that we are anointed with the Holy Spirit. So as we have God himself in us, we've been anointed with the Holy Spirit. We are equipped. We also have our talents and experiences. We are anointed and equipped for those appointments. So step one, we have specific appointments. We are selected and separated for certain tasks. Two, we are anointed. We are equipped. So today, three, we're going to look at our commission. So Christian tradition identifies the two great commissions that apply to everybody. Genesis 1:28 tells us to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Matthew 28:19 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." So we recognize that applies to all of us. Commissioned means to be set out to fulfill a particular purpose. It rests on a mandate, which is an instruction to fulfill a purpose. The prefix co means jointly, mutually. So mission means an important assignment. So God has a mission for each of us, and he wants to accomplish those missions with us. The God of the universe has selected you for a task, and he wants to do it with you. That's an awesome, awesome thought. Okay, so right now what we're going to do is, in your booklets, if you turn to this page, here, I guess it looks like most of you are there. So in your table groups, so you're kind of naturally can split up. If you're a full table, maybe do like 3, 2, 3. But just take a little bit of time and think about or find in the Bible people who've been commissioned by God. The book is full of commissioned people. People who were given a task. What was their specific commission? What were the results of that commission? What did it look like in an earthly way? And how long did it take? So just go ahead right now and look at commissions. I guess you can't. So, can you hear me? Does anybody want to share any of their people? Carolyn does.
We actually talked that there's, I mean, you could have used all the minor prophets. We used Moses, Esther.
Moses, what'd you find out about Moses?
So his commission was to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt.
Yes.
His results were that he did complete that. He was led out of Egypt, but not into the promised land. And they took 4 years in the wilderness.
Oh, do I have to repeat that, Melanie? I'm done.
Okay. Anybody else want to share? Well, thanks, Jill. Who said Debbie? We'll get to you, Jill.
Hey, we're going to use Jesus.
Yes.
And of course, his commission was to save us. The result, we just wrote simple salvation. And how long did it take? Well, it's ongoing.
Praise God for that.
Yes.
Jill?
We talked a lot about Jeremiah. He was commissioned to preach to Judah, and I kind of love Jeremiah because he had a pretty awful life and nothing went right, and he ended up being hauled off into Egypt against his will at the end of his life and dying there, and he had maybe two converts, but he did what God said, and he was...
That's an example I thought of too, is Jeremiah. Oh, Karen.
We did Joseph. And his commission was to save Egypt, and he did it, and the whole famine deal took about 14 years, but it was longer than that overall.
Yes. Patty.
We chose Jonah because he was very defiant and mad and didn't want to do it and got stuck in the whale, and then when he did go, he got mad because they did what they were supposed to. They repented.
Not that any of us could relate to that. Okay, so we're gonna look at some case studies. Esther 2:7 says that Mordecai was bringing up Hadassah, that is Esther, the daughter of his uncle, for she had neither father or mother. And this is scripture. The young woman had a beautiful figure and was lovely to look at. Esther was an orphan and a local beauty queen. And Mordecai was living faithfully in his commission, raising his younger cousin and teaching her of God. 2:8 says, when young women were gathered in Susa, the citadel, in custody of Haggai, Esther also was taken into the king's palace and put in custody of Haggai, who had charge of the women. What just happened between 2:7 and 2:8? At this point, try to imagine the feelings of Mordecai. Esther was gone from his home, thrust as a young woman into a decadent heathen culture, and she was never coming back. 2:11 tells us that every day Mordecai walked in front of the court of the harem to learn how Esther was and what was happening to her. Even though Esther was removed from his care, Mordecai did not neglect his commission. Mordecai stayed on mission, trusting it was a commission, submitting to the removal of Esther from his care, but daily checking on her, probably never to physically see her again. Mordecai had taught Esther humility. When it was Esther's turn to go to the king, she asked for advice from Haggai, the king's eunuch. Esther embraced her commission, doing the most with her face and body that she could while continuing to cultivate humility. Would we even believe there is such a commission? We are all either in training or in the battle, and who knows whether you have not come into the kingdom for such a time as this. Another story of training and commission, Ruth was a young woman who learned of God from her mother-in-law, and Naomi faithfully taught Ruth for 10 years. In those 10 years, Naomi lived in a foreign country. She was driven there because of terrible economic circumstances. While there, her husband died, her two sons died. She lost all means of support. Had she failed in her commission? When I measure in the moment, or in the day, or even in the year, I can feel forgotten by God. In my season of life, I like to think about Naomi. I picture her to be about my age or probably about the same stage in life. She had had to move to a country that had a bad history with her own country. Her sons married foreign women, which was not formally prohibited, but was discouraged. So far in her life, Naomi had hard economic circumstances, had to leave her home. Her sons married suspicious girls, and then her husband died. And then her sons died, and she was left with the suspicious girls. Naomi said, "You girls go home to your families. I'm going to go throw myself on the mercy of my relatives." Can we trust that we're following our commission when we lose so much? But Naomi had cultivated relationship with Ruth, and Ruth wouldn't leave her. When Naomi got a glimpse of something better for Ruth, Naomi trusted and tried again. She had been so faithful in her commission to build a relationship with her daughter-in-law that to Naomi's instructions to gather grain or to approach Boaz, making herself extremely physically vulnerable, Ruth replied, "All that you say, I will do." After 10 years, Naomi could have thought God didn't care or wasn't listening and quit, but she didn't. And then there's Miriam. Exodus 2:4 tells us his sister, and we assume it's Miriam, watched Moses in a basket among the reeds by the riverbank. When Pharaoh's daughter found the baby, Miriam, the daughter of despised slaves, boldly approached the princess of Egypt, daughter of her family's oppressors, and made it possible for her mother to raise her own sons. 80 years later, when Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt, Miriam is known as a prophetess and led the children of Israel in singing praise to God, their deliverer. Miriam had spent decades as a slave, her whole life to this point. But when God wanted her leadership skills, she responded. Esther, Ruth, Miriam, all different specific commissions. Wife, mother, daughter, encourager, nurse, caretaker, artist, teacher, gardener, student, prayer warrior, mentor. What are your commissions? And right now, Lord, I ask that you show all of these women their commissions. Just take a couple minutes to write down some of your specific commissions. And feel free to talk them over if you need to identify them. Ever. And sometimes that's hard to accept. Just think that through. Are there commissions that have been withdrawn? And sometimes then when they've been withdrawn, we need to let them go, which can be hard to do. See if you can identify a commission that's been withdrawn. There's a spot if you want to. Writing down clarifies our thoughts. Be faithful in our current commissions and what gets us off track. Miriam comes up again in Numbers 12. Miriam criticized Moses because of the Ethiopian woman he had married. Miriam voiced racism about the wife of Moses. But the really big issue that she voiced, which racism is big enough, she was jealous of Moses' position and influence. She rebelled against God. Miriam set herself up as knowing better than God, and God's not going to put up with that kind of pride. Miriam was cursed with leprosy, and she was forced outside the Israelite camp for 7 days. She is never spoken of in the Bible again, and Jewish tradition would say that she was never spoken of again, or no one ever talked to her again. At this point, Miriam should have been a mature leader in her community. Ladies, especially my age, we've been faithful for years. Miriam had seen Moses do amazing things. Imagine her as one of your peers. Imagine her as you. Do you start to think about what our rights are? What's unfair? Why does this cost my family so much? Physically, emotionally, financially? And then there's the things I just don't like. I might not like protein shakes, camping, or shopping online, but God's reserved judgment for himself. And we need to stay in humble relationship with the author of our commissions. What are we going to do to get back on track? As Christian women, and this applies to the youngest Christian here, we are seeking spiritual maturity. We are, right? We are seeking spiritual maturity. We need to grow up. So when you find yourself convicted and unsettled, we're going to lean into the following. We're going to immediately confess sin. We're not going to justify ourselves. If you want to write these things down, feel free. We immediately confess sin. Someone else didn't make us do it, Eve. We apply spiritual discernment. Charles Spurgeon said, discernment is not knowing the difference between right and wrong. It's knowing the difference between right and almost right. Okay? Just because you don't say something mean doesn't mean you encourage somebody. We abound in love for others. We don't just be nice. We abound in love for others. We're known as loving Jesus. We are growing in the knowledge of Scripture and other people. We are women of integrity, which includes honesty and morality. We exercise a faithful attitude, trusting Jesus to make us strong. We desire to be healed of our hurts. We don't become known by our hurts. And you can add one more. We glorify God in everything we do. Doesn't that sound great? Then there's what, I know my commissions. I know my jobs. I know what task God has for me. And then there's what I substitute for my commissions. I can make a great breakfast. My emails get read and responded to. I get my Easter plans made. I've read the latest Francis Chan book and I've been suitably challenged. I completed my daily 40 minutes of cardio. Those are all can be good things, but not when I substitute those things for my commissions. Do you hold your finger up and say, just a minute, God, I'll get to you as soon as I finish these couple little things? Are we trying to live a Christianized version of the American dream? Take a deep breath, reflect on those commissions that you wrote down, and then you get after it. God's given me my husband for life. He's given me his word. He has given me children and grandchildren to depend on me for different seasons. He's given me business roles, and he's given me specific talents. Naomi was discouraged. Yeah, me too. I would be too if that happened to me. But she turned to her faith community, which is all of you, and when Naomi, for support, and when Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she said no more. Isn't that a mouthful? That's scripture. She said no more. And Naomi and Ruth returned to Bethlehem, and Naomi confessed her bitterness and discouragement to the women of the town. She said, call me Mara. In the midst of Naomi's bitterness and discouragement, when Ruth turned to Naomi for advice and counsel, Naomi gave her godly counsel. And Ruth had developed such confidence in Naomi that Ruth replied to Naomi, all that you say I will do. Naomi became the nurse of Ruth and Boaz's firstborn son, Obed, an ancestor of Jesus. And because of that woman's faithfulness, we are blessed today. Miriam and Naomi, we have choices on how we deal with the events of life. It isn't that we start on the road and God smooths the paths, and we do young Christians a disservice when we present the Christian life in that light. We are to count the cost, and as Naomi gave the choice to Orpah and Ruth, we have to lay out the facts. We are in a battle. In Numbers 12, Miriam didn't like Moses' wife, and the real complaint was against the authority of God through Moses. After all Miriam had seen God do, she rebelled against his leadership and she rebelled against God. To you and me, I'm curious if we could have told the difference between one woman crying in pain and one woman crying in rebellion. I can't decide that for anybody else, but I know I have that choice. Pain or rebellion? And are we looking for a redeemer, or are we setting ourselves up as a challenger for authority? Because I know best. And before we respond too quickly, think about how we respond to situations that are outside of our comfort zone. Let's stay on mission. The co in commission means someone has given us a mission. Wives, are we supporting our husbands in their roles, or are we challenging their authority as leaders? Mothers, are we training ourselves, our children up in truth? The Bible's the truth, not culture. Not the world's culture, not our friend group culture, not our school culture, not even our church culture. As our children grow into adulthood and even middle age, the Bible rather than culture is our common ground. 1 Peter 2:9 I referenced earlier, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. A priest in Israel would say, if you watch me, you'll know God. In each of our commissions, let's represent the King of Kings.